This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talks.
Here comes the money.
All right, it is Money Monday. We're going to get into this conversation in just a moment. We're talking here about inclusion and transformation when it comes to women in the financial sector. So there are two sides to this conversation that we're going to talk about. One, the underrepresentation of females across the financial services sector. So there was a PwC report done on executive directors. So practices and remuneration trends. It was released actually in January 2022. Right, so that's this year, which found that 95% of all CEOs on JSE-listed companies were male. 87.2% of the CFOs were male. 91% of executive directors were male. Only a total of 19 women held executive positions on listed companies, and only 6% of the 329 CEOs were female. Now, on the flip side of that, let me give you a little bit of about financial statistics. When it comes to equal work and equal pay, we're still fighting that ongoing battle around representation of women. But it would appear as though the scales are tipped against women by the country's tax system, which treats women and men equally, but with unequal results. So we'll find out exactly when it comes to even the way that women are taxed. Is it different? And how does tax actually apply to women versus men? Applying affirmative action to tax laws, for example, to redress a disproportionate impact of VAT and personal income tax on women would support South Africa's goal on inclusive economic growth and encourage a greater labor force of participation and entrepreneurship amongst women. But it appears as though we treat it equally in terms of how we are taxed, but unequally in terms of the outcomes of that taxation. And if you'd like to add into this conversation, it's 0861 987 000. Let me welcome our guest to this one, and then we're going to take the news, and then we're going to come back, and then we're going to get into it, because it's alarming. It really is alarming. Let's welcome financial expert Lungile Mashilo. Lungile, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Hi, thank you so much for having me again today. Hello to your listeners.
And we've also got Victoria Rivers, who is a managing director of Morningstar Investment Management SA. Thank you so much, Victoria, for your time this afternoon. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Hello, Faith. It's good to be with you. And hello to all of your listeners.
And we're going to go into it in just a moment. And we're going to be discussing women and money and how is it that it's working when it comes to taxation more than anything else. How do we get back from the tax ban instead of having them have the scales tipped in favor of the man versus the woman? Can you believe it? More importantly, where do we sit with underrepresentation within the financial sector? What's going on, ladies? Let's talk after this. It's 2:30 now.
12 to 3 p.m. Power Lunch with Faith Mangope.
It's 25 minutes to go before the top of the hour. We've got so much to talk about when it comes to finances, money and woman, right? Two things that actually should go together well, isn't it? Money and woman. Not from a place of spending, but maybe even from a point of making money. Making money and woman, right? Why do we find, number one, the gross underrepresentation of women in the financial services sector that we're actually finding, right? Even in JSE-listed companies, I was mentioning it to you earlier on, 95% of all CEOs on JSE are male. 87% of CFOs are male. 91% of executive directors are male. If when I'm reading out these statistics, doesn't it just sound like an old boys club? It just sounds like a boys club. But why is it? Is it because opportunities are not being given, or is it because the women are not taking the opportunities that are presented to them? That's what we're going to get into. More importantly, also around, are the scales tipped in favor of men when it comes to tax? We're going to attempt to answer those questions with Lungile Mashilo as well as Victoria Rivers. Maybe Victoria, let's start us off here. You know, I was reading around JSE listed companies as well as the male representation there. And I don't understand why is it that, South African context, 28 years into democracy, why do we still find this kind of representation? It almost appears as though as the countries move forward, clearly somewhere, somehow, we've moved backwards in terms of representation. What is going on? I mean, progress has been made, but clearly not enough.
Faith, yes, and I think you're right that progress has been made, But there are certain barriers that exist, and from a corporate perspective, which I think have hindered a lot of women from entering and maybe progressing in the corporate world. Post-COVID, I do believe and I do hope that that will change, because one of those barriers would be around flexibility. And as much as I would love that statistic of, you know, CEOs of listed companies to be 50-50 male and versus female, the reality is also, you know, as women, we need to bring up the next generation. We have a huge role to play in terms of whether we're mothers, whether, you know, the role we have with our children. And the lack of flexibility that is previously given within corporate structures, I think, has actually deterred a lot of people from progressing, and both from a career perspective and a balance from a family life perspective. So if you're somebody who doesn't, you know, have children and you don't need that flexibility, I do think opportunities exist, but perhaps there hasn't been transformation at the rate at which we have seen it. Yeah. Or sorry, we'd like to see it, should I say. And so now, post-COVID, in a world where we can see we can pretty much work anywhere in a lot of jobs, and there is a lot more flexibility in the workplace, I do hope we will start to see that change. And then the second aspect is, and I'm speaking predominantly here with regards to financial services, and you know, speaking to my own book and my own understanding, is that there's so many roles in financial services that are fantastic for women. It's an incredible industry. But there's most women, when you come out of university or school, you have no idea of the range of careers you could have within one industry. You think about financial services and you think, I need to be an analyst or a portfolio manager. I need to be good at maths. I need to be good with numbers. But the reality is that there are so many different roles that women could fulfill and actually take them into leadership positions. So as a corporate SA, we need to do more communication and create awareness around the different opportunities for women to enter the corporate space.
Yeah, you know, this is such a layered conversation, even when we're picking it up, right? And it takes me back to one of my favorite authors, controversial, but one of my favorites, Sheryl Sandberg, who really speaks significantly about leaning in, you know, and how a lot of women are, even when they're attempting to lean in, the actual conception or the concept about them leaning in often gets painted on one way if you're a woman and on another way if you're a man. So if you're a woman and you're in, for example, the financial services sector, and you say, but pay me my worth and this is what I would like and this is how I'd like to run this operation, you get seen as antagonistic and aggressive. But when you're a man that's doing it, you get seen as a leader and somebody that is decisive when it comes to the nature of leadership.
Absolutely. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think as women, there are many barriers to doing work. I mean, one, it's our own fears around, are we good enough? Are we working hard enough? Are we being too aggressive in what we're asking for? And then the second is, we've seen so few women succeed that environmentally, it does put us in a scenario where we feel like it's more difficult for us to succeed. So I totally agree with that comment. And I think, you know, from my perspective, my advice is to women, you know, don't be the stereotype. Don't worry about if you're seen as too aggressive, if you're asking for the promotion you deserve, if you're pushing the boundary. You know, be yourself, know your strengths, and don't be afraid to get that comment, because we're only going to change things if we actually drive the change ourselves.
Yeah. Lungile, you know,
mentors. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, and we're going to talk a little bit about the importance of even aligning with women that are women mentors, you know, who can almost break the stereotypical, you know, misconceptions that have been put into our heads regarding leadership. But Lungile, you know, from an employee perspective, and now to find that even the way that we're taxed is a little bit different to men. I mean, we go through the same procedures, but it looks as though the outcome's a little bit
Yes. So the recent research that came out, I think early this week, showed us that there is tax similarities between men and women, we are all taxed the same. However, there is a big difference in how single income households versus dual income households are experienced tax. So you'll find that because for example, if the family income is around 200,000 rand a year versus when a woman only pays 200,000 a year, earns 200,000 a year, the tax experience is different because the tax burden is on two people versus one person. And I think what highlights that is that more than 40% of households in South Africa are female-led. So it means that they experience more of a tax burden than dual-income households.
You know, as we're even talking about these statistics, I just wonder how change is going to come about if there are so many barriers that have been put, you know, on the side of women to help them advance within these specific areas. So it's Victoria, I mean, that means that a lot of the child rearing in the societal construct, which is still prevalent clearly right now in South Africa, given the corporate structure and the stats that I was reading here, the child rearing duty is placed on women. So if you are going to be a CEO, note that you're going to have to be a CEO, but take into mind that you're going to also look after the child primarily. And also take note that you're also going to have to look after the family primarily. So be a CEO, but just note that the kid must still be in good condition, and you must still be able to look after them, and you must still be able to, you know, serve the child as much as you want to serve your career. And I can imagine what kind of a difficult position that placed many a woman.
For sure. It's a challenge we all face, and I don't have a perfect solution to it. But I do think that if you can create a network of people that you work with that support you and that understand you, and if you can create a structure that allows you to find some form of balance. And I do think in terms of progressing from a career perspective, obviously different corporates have different structures, but I'm fortunate enough to work for a company that's very output-based, and they place reward and recognition in terms of output. And so what that means is that as a woman in my role, I get to find time to find balance in my life. And I know not everybody is fortunate enough to have that, but I do think a lot of the business that I run has also been driven by the way that I need it to work for me. I'm also very proud my team is 70% women. And I must tell you, from one of the ways we've created change in our business is from a recruiting perspective. Whenever we receive CVs, we have no age, no gender, no name, and no race on the CV. And what that means is that when you absolutely, any biases you may have, whether you're a woman interviewing or looking at candidates or a man, those are removed, and you selecting candidates purely based on skill. And it's quite phenomenal, the candidates that have come through. So if I think of my team, let's say 70% women, it's been, you know, built really from the bottom up, and those are skilled candidates that got through purely on merit. And they're, I mean, fantastic. So there are ways that you can, you know, you can eat this elephant one bite at a time. You can change it, but you have to start small and not be disheartened by the blockade or thinking that this mountain is too big to climb.
That is very interesting. I want to labor on it for a little bit, Victoria. And Lungile, could that be the solution in terms of how do we start addressing the injustices of, you know, of a patriarchal past and present that we're dealing with, right? Is if the CV does not have, whether you're a Miss, Mrs. or a Mr., if it doesn't have your name and all it has are your qualifications and your merits, so as it were, and we remove your gender and we remove everything else around it, are you then able to pick candidates that could potentially represent the market as opposed to representing our own unconscious or conscious bias when it comes to how women do the job versus how men do the job?
I think it's actually quite a powerful strategy that they have there. And I think it can work, and I'm sure it does, to sort of remove those biases. But I think another way that this can be done, and I think it's an industry, not just financial services industry, but just like South Africa as a whole, I think there has to be a little bit more transparency in terms of remuneration. You know, apart from all the other differences in terms of transformation in the market, but there's a big gender pay gap. And I feel like the only way that we can get past that is that even if when you're recruiting, the amount of money that is available to pay this candidate is seen, so that people really earn what they're worth and not based on previous experience, previous salary, or even just, you know, assumption that maybe because you're a woman, you can earn a little bit less. I think that would also help as part of this conversation.
I fail to understand the logic of this one. And help me out here, guys, because you work within the space, right? if households in South Africa, more than 40%, in fact, the last one stat I heard, it was about 60% of households in this country are actually women-led households, right? Mm-hmm. If that's the case, should the tipping scales not be the other way around? If households have got more women instead of the dual partnership of men and women, should then the gender gap be in favor of women? Because they're the ones that are within the household, having to look after the children and work and all at the same time?
Logically, it should be. But I think we are all, or the industry or the workplace is still hung up on what, you know, patriarchy in the past and how things used to be done. It's slowly changing. But with the lack of transparency, it becomes very difficult to actually for us to actually ascertain if it's changing or the rate at which it's changing. All we can see is obviously the C-suite execs and maybe some CEOs who have their salaries published in their annual reports. That's the only way we can see that the gender parity in terms of payment is changing. But for the normal, you know, middle management or even junior personnel, it becomes very difficult for us to see whether that transformation is happening. And I think it needs to happen through the board.
Yeah. You know, when the change happens and the transformation happens, Victoria, there's a question that's coming in here from Wanawa Musem saying, do women actually reciprocate in advancing other women? And we need to be real about this. Do women actually leave the door open? Or open the door for other women to actually succeed, even within the financial services sector, even in corporate? Are women still gatekeepers of patriarchy in some instances? Or are we finding more and more women saying, actually, how do I amass and get more women in so that it doesn't become a bottom, a saturated but top empty kind of structure?
Well, I think that question really relates to the personalities of gender aside, male or female, because I've had some fantastic men in my life from a work career perspective who've been unbelievable mentors and created many opportunities for me to grow, as well as women. And so I can say from a female perspective, all the women that I know in the industry that I work with, and I'm fortunate enough to know some fantastic women, they have really opened the door and created opportunity. And I don't think any listener on this call should underestimate the power of a network and ensuring that you can provide feedback both up to people who are ahead of you in their career and also people who are, you know, younger than you and entering the industry. So from my side, I think it really does come down to the personality. Mm. So if it's somebody who wants to, you know, keep the glory for themselves, that's going to be male or female, and that really creates the patriarchy, as you called it. I do think that the ego side of things is perhaps potentially a bit less with women. So for me, as I say, my career, I've been hugely fortunate to work with incredible women and men. But you've got to find people who are happy to see your personal growth and share the spotlight.
Yeah. Ooh, speaking about sharing the spotlight, Lungile, which sectors of industry, maybe let's get practical for a second. And I'm thinking even for young women that are in university right now and are trying to think about where am I going to go with my work? I am interested in finances, but again, it's seen as a very male dominated sector of industry. Where are those nuggets of spark where I can actually work, or those sectors within the financial services space that I can work in that will allow me to have flexibility, that will allow me to look at output as opposed to me clocking in at 8 o'clock and clocking out sometimes at about 8 p.m. because there are institutions that work like that. Where can I find those places, and which are the sectors that allow me to have the flexibility of time whilst also being able to be provided the privilege of progression?
I think it's a matter of looking not necessarily at the sectors, but the organizations that have a culture of flexibility and growth and inclusion. I think there are multiple organizations in South Africa that do allow that. So for somebody in university, what I would say is while you are researching for which companies to join, make sure that you understand what the organization's culture is like and whether you'll have that opportunity for growth and flexibility. I think just women are found everywhere. It's interesting that last week I was attending an event and I was very surprised. And I've been attending industry events for a very long time. And I was very surprised in a positive way in terms of how many women were in the room, how many women were speaking to us, because what you normally find is women in the audience, but a lot of men, you know, talking to us. What I've seen is a big transformation in terms of participation of women in the financial services industry. So I think key to this is me not saying go into marketing, go be an analyst, go be a researcher. Key is to find an organization that aligns with your values and your growth ambitions. And that's quite easy to find and get a sense of on platforms such as LinkedIn.
Yeah. LinkedIn comes in again about the utilization of social media. And to that question, I was going to say, Victoria, you know, as it is right now, South Africa is scarce for jobs. That's why we've got 70% of young people in this country that are actually unemployed. In many instances, people will turn around and say, we don't have the luxury of even selecting an organization that works for us, because right now it's under the desperation of any organization that will hire me will do. So in the realities that we're facing, that 70% of young people are unemployed, the marketplace, unfortunately, is becoming more and more saturated. A lot of these businesses are even putting moratoriums on employment. And I've seen this happen. So in that instance, what does a person do to advance in the financial space, but not have to then make a choice of being a mother versus being a successful woman in finance?
Faith, you mentioned the privilege of progression, and I would say that there's also a privilege to have a job, and I feel hugely privileged to be able to work and to do, and I love what I do. And I would say to a lot of the youth, male or female, out there, is that when you are looking for jobs and they are scarce, obviously you want flexibility and you want progression and you want a business that aligns with your cultures, but what you really want when you start is a foot in the door. And you want to learn, because when you're young and you start in any career, any job, initially, actually, you're just learning. You might be doing work that you're paid for, but the reality is you're learning. And I think a lot of the youth today, and this is a blanket statement, so I know it doesn't apply to everyone, but there are a lot of people that, you know, we've actually interviewed they want everything almost up front. I want a nice salary. I want to know what my career path is going to be. I want flexibility, as opposed to almost coming and saying, I want to work and I want to learn. And the more you learn in your early years of work, the more skills you have and the more valuable you become to any business that you work in. So for individuals or the youth who are looking for jobs and feeling disheartened, I would find an area, and you ask Angela, like, what are the different types of areas? Well, in financial services, there's compliance, there's marketing, there's sales, there's investments, there's the legal side of the business. There are many different avenues. If you can get your undergraduate and then find a company that potentially aligns with your values, look at roles that are out there and see where the areas that you don't, you know, go for interviews and see the areas that you fall down on, and then work on those areas to improve it, because all you need is a foot in the door. And so don't be disheartened by, you know, declines from job interviews. Keep at it. Keep changing your tack. Maybe ask the business that declined you, why was I declined? Was it skills-based? Did I fall down on my interview? And really just get that feedback and work on improving yourself, because you will get a gap, but you just got to keep working at it and not get disheartened.
On the other side of it, Nungile, how much do we have to work as, and I think even as women, where we give women the allowance, not that they should have needed allowance in the first place, but here we are nonetheless, the allowance to be ambitious. So it's almost like women having to sit and validate, or society having to validate that a woman can actually have ambition. And when I mean ambition, not to be a manager in their work, but to actually say, I want to be the CEO or a managing director of a JSE-listed company. How much do we have to work even with the psychological element of ambition and say to women, you have the right to dream to be the CEO of a JSE-listed company? And I wonder in this day and age, how many women are actually dreaming and have ambitions of being at the top of the food chain, at the very top of the top of corporate structure, and do so with conviction?
I think a lot of work still needs to be done in terms of just rebuilding or building women's confidence in making sure of making them believe that they can achieve their career goals. I do think, though, that the tides are changing. We've had so many organizations that are providing guidance and coaches and inspiration for women or any employees to feel like they can achieve that. A lot of us have just from historically feel very apologetic about our goals and ambitions. But I think just with companies especially and ourselves investing more into ourselves, understanding what we want and knowing that it's possible, the tides are changing. And I think also what really helps is if you see women within your organization or even your industry that are excelling, like we start to see more CEOs of, you know, prominent companies being women, it really starts inspiring us to dream further. I think as the industry changes, and so are the people within it who aspire to be more.
Give us tips, Victoria. How do we encourage women to ask more from the table?
I would say to all the women listening to this call, you have to have a dream. So you have to believe in yourself and not be afraid to ask questions. And every time you're declined, every time you get, you know, you feel knocked down, get back up and just keep moving forward. So, you know, stay humble, stay hungry, read as much as you can, follow people on LinkedIn that inspire you, and just not to be disheartened by bad experiences, because bad experiences are part of the journey, but you've got to learn from them. And so for me, you know, to every woman on this call, you might look at somebody successful and think, I want to be there. They must have had a straight line in terms of the role they got to where they are. And if I think of my journey, it's the furthest thing from a straight line. It felt like I had more setbacks than step-ups. But if you are a woman, and someone was to say to me, what was the gap that you know really helped you to where you are today in your career? I'd say it was being given a gap and stepping up. Because you're always terrified when you do get a gap in life. You feel like, what, I'm too young. You know, I think I spent my whole life trying to pretend I'm older than I really was, and now I'm trying to pretend I'm younger than I am. But that's a different story. But when you get that gap, believe in yourself, find people to support you, and step up. And that gap could be anything from getting a job in an industry you don't know, getting a promotion, meeting somebody you think is amazing, and just really just staying consistent to the process of constant improvement and not letting bad experiences get you down.
Yeah, I think more than anything else, it's having to encourage also women about deliberate intention, Lungile.
Yeah.
A woman won't make it to the JSE-listed companies as CEO if us as women do not have deliberate intention to open up and unlock those opportunities. And I say this because even in my own life, I have been, I don't know how, but I've been fortunate and I've been privileged to have very powerful women in my space and in my circle who intentionally open up and unlock doors on my behalf and say names and my name on my behalf in places that I didn't know. As we close, deliberate intention.
Absolutely. And just to add to one of the tips is that women always sometimes hold ourselves back. So I would say don't wait until you're ready. When you're ready, it's too late. So do everything afraid. And once you get that opportunity, pay it forward. Give somebody else a step up to get to their next.
I love it. Lungile Mashego, Victoria Rivers, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. And this is where we leave it for this edition of Power Lunch.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.